You are about to hear One, None, and 100,000 by Luigi Pirandello. Narrated by Chris Matthews.
One, None, and 100,000 by Luigi Pirandello. Translated from the Italian by Samuel Putnam. First edition, 1933. Note: this book not only depicts dramatically, but at the same time demonstrates by what might be termed a mathematic method the impossibility of any human creature's being to others what he is to himself. If you would like to have an idea of how it is that others see you, so as no longer to have to marvel at the judgments which others pass upon your personality, learn to reflect like the hero of this novel. Luigi Pirandello. Book First. 1. My wife and my nose. "What are you doing?" my wife asked me, as she saw me lingering, contrary to my wont, in front of the mirror. "Nothing," I told her. "I'm just having a look here, in my nose, in this nostril. It hurts me a little when I take hold of it." My wife smiled. "I thought," she said, "that you were looking to see which side it hangs down lowest." "I thought," she said, "that you were looking to see which side it is hangs down the lower." I whirled like a dog whose tail had been stepped on. "Which side hangs down the lower? My nose? Mine?" "Why, yes, dear," and my wife was serene. "Take a good look. The right side is a little lower than the other." I was 28 years old, and up to now, I had always looked upon my nose as being, if not altogether handsome, at least a very respectable sort of nose, as might have been said of all the other parts of my person. So as far as that was concerned, I had been ready to admit and maintain a point that is customarily admitted and maintained by all those who have not had the misfortune to bring a deformed body into the world, namely, that it is silly to indulge in any vanity over one's personal lineaments. And yet the unforeseen, unexpected discovery of this particular defect angered me like an undeserved punishment. It may be that my wife saw through this anger of mine, for she quickly added that if I was under the firm and comforting impression of being wholly without blemishes, it was one of which I might rid myself, since just as my nose sagged to the right, something else? Yes, there was something else. Something else. My eyebrows were like a pair of circumflex accents. My ears were badly put on, one of them standing out more than the other. And there were further shortcomings. What, more? Ah, yes, more. My hands, the little finger, and my legs. No, surely they were not crooked. The right one was bowed slightly more than the other, toward the knee, ever so slightly. Following an attentive examination, I had to admit that all these defects existed. It was only then, when the feeling of astonishment that succeeded my anger had definitely changed to one of grief and humiliation, it was only then that my wife strove to console me, urging me not to take it so to heart, since, with all my faults, when all was said, I was still a handsome fellow. I made the best of it, accepting as a generous concession what had been denied me as a right. I let out a most venomous thanks, and, safe in the assurance that I had no cause for either grief or humiliation, proceeded to attribute not the slightest importance to these trifling defects. But I did confer a very great and extraordinary importance upon the fact that I had gone on living all these years without ever once having changed noses, keeping the same one all the time, and with the same eyebrows and the same ears, the same hands and the same legs, and to think that I had had to take a wife to realize that they were not all that they should be. Huh, small wonder in that. Doesn't everybody know what wives are for? Made precisely for discovering a husband's faults? True enough, mind you. I don't deny this about wives, but I may tell you that, in those days, I was prone to fall, at any word said to me, at the sight of a housefly buzzing about, into deeps of reflection and pondering that left me with a hollow feeling inside, and which rent my soul from top to bottom and tore it inside out like a molehill, without any of all this being visible on the outside. It is plain to be seen, you will tell me, that you had plenty of time to squander. Not exactly that, I would have you know. Some allowance is to be made for the state of mind I was in. But beyond that, I don't deny that my life was leisurely to the point of idleness. I was well-to-do, and a pair of faithful friends, Sebastiano Quantorzo and Stefano Furbo, had looked after my interests since my father's death.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?